Father, this really good, and thank you for the gift of being with my brothers and sisters here. I'm thankful that we will be brothers and sisters for eternity, and this is just so temporary, and so I look forward to the days of no goodbyes and no comings and goings, but just eternity with you and one another. But for today, Father, would you guide my thoughts, my words? May they bring you honor. Give me clarity. And Holy Spirit, have your way. Do your work for your glory, our Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. And though my son-in-law doesn't get his job, and though my daughter might lose her baby, and though my niece is not cured of her cancer, and though the abuse goes on and on that I hear in the news, and the violence continues, what will I do? I watch the news with remote in hand, almost. I find myself where I just can't take one more clip of an announcement of violence, of abuse, of evil. I sit and grieve as I talk with young women and hear story after story of brokenness, of pain, of anguish, of fear. I find myself just fighting anger when I hear of one more church split because of masks and vaccines and politics. And fear threatens to cripple me. And if I'm not careful, it will get me in a vice that is accompanied by grumbling and by despair, and by anger, and by pride. And I find myself asking questions not unlike those that you have heard and read that Habakkuk asked. The book of Habakkuk is almost like opening up his journal, getting a glimpse of his personal wrestling with God as he looked, and I can't take it. God, where are you? Why? And we see as we go through his journal the wrestling and the choice that God puts before Habakkuk. And it's the same choice that God puts before you and me. When I open that journal, and I read his complaints, which you read a couple weeks ago. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And you will not hear? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Where are you, God? Why are you silent? And I find myself wrestling with what I see around me as Habakkuk was wrestling with the evil that he was seeing amongst his people in Judah, and God seeming silent. And God does with Habakkuk what he so often seems to do with us. The answer he gives is not the answer we're looking for. And in fact, the answer he gives Habakkuk is, Habakkuk responds with, I can't, are you serious? As you read and saw, God's answer to Habakkuk was that he would take a people even more wicked by human standards and use them to discipline the people of Judah. And no wonder Habakkuk responds as he does in verse 13 of chapter 1. God, or verse 12, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One. You who are purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors? What are you doing? And we see this choice that God puts before Habakkuk. How are you going to respond to what you see, to what I'm doing? And I love how I got to listen. I listened and watched Del's message last week and love how he pointed out the choice that Habakkuk makes. Verse 1 of chapter 2, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me. And what I will answer concerning my complaint. We're struck by the decision put before Habakkuk because we've felt it. When God doesn't do what we want him to do, when God seems to be silent before the evil in front of us, before what we face personally, before what we face in our world, and we have a choice, do we shake our fist at God and turn away, or do we say, I will pour out my honest cry to you, and I will look and wait to see what you say? Which is exactly what God calls us to do. And God, in his grace, in his kindness, in his compassion, he answers Habakkuk. But you know, in his answer to Habakkuk, God raises the real question. See, the real question isn't, God, what are you doing? The real question is the question that God answers us, or asks us, will you trust me? Will you believe me when I don't make sense? What will you do when you don't get it? Will you have faith in me? We can hear that question. We've heard God ask us that. And it's the question that God puts before Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, I will take my stand. How will we take our stand? With our fist before God, turning away, saying, you're not working for me, God, I'm done with you. Or do we say, I will look. I will listen. I will put my faith in you. I will trust you to be true to your word. To be true, to do what you say you will do. And God, in his grace, he answers Habakkuk as Habakkuk is listening. And God speaks to Habakkuk. And he says, yes, I am going to bring judgment. Yes, I am a holy God. Yes, I will put an end to evil. Yes, I will judge the people that I am bringing, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians that I am bringing to discipline the people, your people, my people of Judah. Yes, I will deal with the wickedness. And yes, my glory will fill the earth. He says in verse 14 of chapter 2, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then as if with this dramatic exclamation point, the end of chapter 2, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. What would Habakkuk do with it? The choice was his. What do we do with it? Would Habakkuk believe God's promise that yes, his glory will fill the earth? That yes, all will evil will be done. God will take care of it. He will deal with it. He will put an end to it and replace it fully with his glory. Will we believe his promises when we don't see them? Do we believe his promises when he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it, prevail against it? In our day and age, when the churches seem to be going through incredible division, do we believe God's promise? When he says in Philippians 1, I will complete the work I've begun in you as individual disciples of mine and as the church. When we look here, do we believe, God, you are going to complete the work here? We don't see it. The opposite seems to be happening. When he says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, do we believe it? Even when it seems, as we look around us, as we turn on the news, it seems the very opposite is happening. What did Habakkuk do? What will we do? We stop in the silence and we listen. We hear. We remember what God has done, what God has said, and we get to chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigionoth, not a word we use frequently, but it tells us that chapter 3 is a psalm. It's a prayer psalm. It's a song. And it's Habakkuk's response. If I were using my imagination, I would imagine that this chapter opens with a spotlight just on Habakkuk, singing a cappella, no instruments, low voice. Lord, I've heard the report of you and your work. Oh, Lord, do I fear? In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. Lord, I've heard what you've done. I've heard, I know how you delivered your people. I know how you brought salvation. I know how you brought rescue. I know how you brought judgment. I know how you brought redemption. Revive your work. And in your judgment, have compassion, have mercy, as you have over and over and over again. And then, as verse 3 begins, in my imagination, the lights come on. And behind Habakkuk is this 100-voice choir and a huge symphonic I don't even know the language. I don't know music. Is it symphonic orchestra? Does that make sense? Anyway, hundreds of violins and cellos and brass and drums. And the crescendo begins. I have no idea if those are the right music terms, but you get the picture. It's like listening to the Messiah. And the song erupts. And listen. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise, his brightness. Like the light, rays flashed from his hands and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains which were scattered, the everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Kishon in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers or your indignation against the sea? When you rode on your horses, on your chariots of the salvation, you stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place. And I can hear those drums, the cymbals. At the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spur, you marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. You just hear that music. This is not a quiet song. This is Habakkuk saying, I've heard this. I sing this prayer of praise, a prayer of what you did, God, of who you are, and he refers to him of God, my Holy One, Yahweh, the covenant promise-keeping God, Lord, Eloha, Creator, Almighty. You came from the south, and he thinks back, and in this song takes the picture of God rescuing the people of Israel out of Egypt as he delivers them, takes them out from the south, takes them into the promised land. The power of what God did, his power to bring about that deliverance, that redemption, delivering them from the people of Israel. He gives a picture in the song of who God is, his splendor covered the heavens, the earth full of his praise. Every place on earth blanketed with his splendor, his glory, his praise. Imagine that. The brilliant, bright light, the picture flashing, the metaphors he's using, that light, the light that is so brilliant that it would be blinding. But indeed, it has to veil God's power, because if God unleashed his power in full, we couldn't stand it. As he comes with pestilence and plague before him and behind him, bringing judgment, the tools of judgment, which is what pestilence and plague are in Scripture. May I pause and say, men and women, God didn't withdraw his hand in January 2020 and say, oops, COVID. The same God has been here from January 2020 till now. Doing his work of judgment and redemption. Yes, with COVID, pestilence, plague, before him, behind him. He looks, he stood, he measured the earth, he looked and saw where he needed to bring judgment. He shook the nations. And we see the picture of God Almighty saying, I put an end to rebellion. It's the picture he gives us that God in his almighty righteous judgment, his almighty righteous power. Look what he says. That which we think is eternal, mountains, hills, he scatters them. He brings them low. His ways alone are the everlasting ways. He gives the picture of bringing his people through the Red Sea, of God being in control of the waters, of God being in a sense making the horses and the chariots of the Egyptians as they pursued the people of Israel, and God went and like that with his breath, God made the Red Sea to part with walls of water. With probably 2 million people, potentially, walking through, fleeing on dry land. And then this picture of God's chariots, God's horses, making man's to be nothing as he defeats the enemy. The raging waters swept on. God does this similar thing when he takes the people of Israel and says, now it's time to go into the promised land. And again, he splits waters, this time the waters of the Jordan. And he takes his people through, demonstrating his power. And then he takes his people into the land that he had promised them, where he said, this is where my house will dwell. This is where my people will make my glory known to the rest of the world. And God in his righteous judgment and God in his mercy demonstrates his power as he moves his people in and as he destroys wickedness in one nation after another. The sun and moon stood still in their place, echoes to back to the time when God used Joshua and the people to silence, to defeat, to destroy the nations of five nations. Is God ignoring the evil? Is God, has he shut his eyes? Has he gone to sleep? No. And Habakkuk says, no, I will sing the song of praise as I think back to what my God did to deliver my people. When I think back to his redemption, when I think back to that deliverance, when I think back to how he cleared away wickedness and evil and violence and horrendous acts. When he established his temple, when he established this covenant people, when he established his dwelling place, when he put his glory, when he made his glory to dwell on earth among us. And Habakkuk sings this praise. Verse 13, you went out for the salvation of your people. I have to tell you, I wrestled with how even to do this psalm, because I thought anything I say about this only minimizes the greatness, the grandeur of what God did and does in his judgment, in his deliverance, in his redemption, in his salvation of his people. Habakkuk's response, it is faith. It's faith that says, this is what you did. This is who you are. I will trust you. But it is not this sort of mealy mouth, wishy-washy, weak faith in a system of Christian acts. It is a faith that demonstrates itself in the fear of God. It is a faith that puts to death the fears that threaten to paralyze us, the fears that threaten to capture our minds and our hearts. It's a faith that says, you are who you say you are, God. And so, my God, I choose to fear you. personal journey over the last 6 months, as I was reading, I read a psalm every morning, and I came to Psalm 34, actually to the end of Psalm 33, and then into Psalm 34, and sat there for months. And what has captured my attention there is the fear of God. I battle fear. I can't watch news long because truly does a fear does threaten to grip me. And so Psalm 33, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean when Habakkuk says in verse 1 of chapter 3, your work, O Lord, do I fear? What does it mean in Habakkuk 3, at the end, towards the end of this song, as he's coming to the end, he says, I hear and my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness, it's like my bones are trembling. My legs are giving out, my legs tremble beneath me. What does that fear mean? What's it look like? Listen, Psalm 33, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. What does it mean to fear God? It means we hope in him ultimately and no other. It means when we look around and everything looks like God has said, I'm out of here for a while. We say, no, you're not. We put our hope in you. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. To fear God means we trust in him and not ourselves. We trust in him and not a political system. We trust in him and not a human plan to grow a church. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. To fear God means we put our hope in him. Into Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do you know what it means to fear the Lord? It means it's his praise I sing. It means I don't grumble, I praise. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. How do we get to the place that Habakkuk gets to? We look, we listen, we remember who our God is, what he has done, what he has promised, and we choose not to fear man, not to fear what might happen in the next 5 years, not to fear if this and this and this and this doesn't happen, but to fear our God, to look to him. I love this. Verse 5 of 34. What does it mean to fear God? Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The choice is before Habakkuk. The choice is before us. Do we look, as Del said last week, at Babylon? Do we look at us? Or do we look at him? Do we listen to the news? Or do we ultimately listen to his promises? He is not silent. Though we may not be able to see what he is doing, he is bringing about his righteous judgment, his complete redemption. You know, the thing about this psalm that Habakkuk is singing, the verbs here are perfect tense. Now, you know, English grammar, bring it back up. Perfect tense means it happened, but it's still being in effect. In a sense, it is still being fulfilled. And so God is still making his glory to fill the earth. God is still bringing deliverance. God is still making the light shine from his hands. God is still trampling the seed. God is still scattering the mountains. God is still making the everlasting hills sink low. God is still, he is still out for the salvation of his people, of us. And as we go through history, we come to another point in history that I believe Habakkuk points to, because verse 13, not only was God out for the salvation of your people, but the salvation of your Messiah, the anointed, who would do what? Crush the head. Genesis 3. He would crush the head of the house of the wicked. And on the cross, God did what we would never have expected. He used the cross. Used the cross to deal with evil. Put his righteous son to death. Put my sin, the sin I can't stand to see on the news, on his son to deal with evil. To bring judgment, to crush the enemy. And the empty tomb. And he's defeated. The enemy is defeated. And so I look at the cross. And because I look at the cross, as Habakkuk looked back to see the deliverance, the judgment, the redemption that God, Almighty God, Yahweh, Holy God, had brought in the past, I look at the cross. And then I can sing with Habakkuk. You can sing with Habakkuk. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stalls, though it gets worse. Though the shelves in the grocery store are empty. Though freedom to gather is done. Though my son-in-law doesn't get that job and they have no income. Though my niece is ovarian cancer spread through her body and there's no answer. Though, yes. Because of the cross. Yet, I will rejoice. And it's not just, I'm going to choose to rejoice even in miserable circumstances. No, this is, I am rejoicing in a triumphant song. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. It's a picture. He makes me victorious over the enemy overall. More than conqueror. It's sure. It's guaranteed, no matter what it looks like right now. That's why Habakkuk says at the end of verse 16, yet I will, and the word is actually rest. I will rest as I wait for the day of trouble. I'm not going to be paralyzed and crippled by fear. I'm not going to let grumbling and anger and pride capture me. I will rejoice triumphantly. Because one day, because of the cross, because the enemy was done and defeated, one day, the trouble's all over. And this will be but a blip in time. Now, just one thing to note. This is very personal. This is Habakkuk's journal. This is Habakkuk's choice. This is my choice. This is yours. What will I choose? What will you choose? Will you say, I will rejoice? I will take joy. God is my strength. He makes me tread on my high places. I titled the message, he asked for a title, and I titled it, From Fear to Triumph. But it's not from fear of man. It's not from fear that cripples me. It's from a fear to God, a fear of God, that we walk and sing and praise a triumphant song regardless of what we see. Pray with me. I will rejoice in you, O Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He makes me tread on my high places. Thank you, God, for who you are, for your deliverance, for your judgment, for your redemption, that you will keep your word. Thank you for the cross that tells me it's guaranteed. Amen.